is Pastor Jeff Chavis coming to you from Las Vegas, Nevada. I'm the pastor of Church Online, an online community of faith that you can find at churchonline.com, but we spell that C-H-R-C-H because we say all that's missing is you, churchonline.com. As a pastor, you can imagine people ask me all the time about prayer. In fact, the tone that I get is people want to know what I pray, almost as if I have some kind of secret formula about prayer. Well, clearly you're a pastor. You probably know something about prayer that I don't. The reality is I pray just as I'm sure most of you do, speaking my heart to God. I mean, that is what prayer is all about. But it's okay because this is sort of the same tone that when Jesus was praying and his disciples saw him and they saw just the incredible life that he lived and the miracles he did, they asked him the same question. I've got a little passage here from Luke chapter 11 that I want to share with you. It's Luke chapter 11, starting verse 1. Now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. There's the question. As people ask me, Pastor, teach us to pray, Jesus was asked the same thing. And his response, of course, is that classic. We know this one, the Lord's Prayer. And let me continue reading verse 2. He said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Now, when you hear me read those words, there's probably some of that it sounds a little different. You say, oh, you missed this, you missed that. Well, Luke's gospel gives us that same prayer, the Lord's Prayer, or what some may refer to as the model prayer. The fuller version that we know is in Matthew's Gospel chapter 6, part of the Sermon on the Mount. But this prayer is his response to the disciples. How should we pray, Lord? Now, it's important that we understand, too, because the way they said it, just like John taught his disciples, well, every teacher, rabbi in the first century would give their students that, not formula for prayer, but format for prayer. You know, you're going to pray this time and this at that time. Now, to the Jews in the first century, it was very much this memorized rote prayer, this thing that you pray every time when you wake up, every day you say, Shema, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You say these prayers and you've been saying these prayers your whole life. And just like with us and this prayer, the Lord's Prayer, there's a tendency for us to think, because Jesus said, when you pray, say, but the way that this reads, it's more like pray like this, instead of praying exactly this. And that's significant, because when you think about it, Jesus is more interested in us giving our cares, our concerns, than just simply repeating back something that we have memorized, maybe since childhood. Now, again, there's nothing wrong with saying the Lord's Prayer. That's not what I'm getting at all. I'm saying, do we have it in our heart? Is this what we're really praying? So I'm going to give you just this little quick formula for understanding the prayer as a model for prayer. And when you think about prayer, I want you to remember those letters, A-K-A. You know, we think about that. Clark Kent, a.k.a. Superman, also known as. Well, no, in this case, the a.k.a. is our model for prayer that we find in this, the Lord's Prayer. It begins, acknowledge who we're speaking to. That's the first A. And it starts out, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. We have to recognize who we are speaking to. Yes, he is the friend that sticks closer than a brother, but he is also holy. That's what that word hallowed means. He's holy. He's above all. He's beyond anything that we could possibly imagine. He is so far above us. And we need to continue to be reminded of that. So the acknowledging who we're speaking to, that's how we should always begin. Coming before God, recognizing who he is, recognizing who we are in his sight. that phrase, our Father in heaven, that's also kind of revolutionary in the first century. The Jews didn't pray directly to a father. They prayed to the God who is far out there in the universe. With us, there is a closeness. So there's that holiness and there's the closeness all at the same time. The second one is the K, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The K is make it a kingdom prayer. Kingdom. We need to pray about the kingdom of God. Jesus said, pray for workers for the harvest. That's a great kingdom prayer. We should be praying for those people that are out there, missionaries. We should be praying for those who are taking the gospel into remote parts of the world. But we also should be praying for our own purpose in the kingdom as well. Lord, help me to speak to my neighbor. Help me to speak to that individual I meet every day at the store, whatever it might be, praying those kingdom principles. And in that way, your will be done. It's not my will. It's your will be done. Probably the most powerful thing we could ever pray. It's not about me. It's not about what I want. It's about your will. And then finally, the A is then the ask. So acknowledge, kingdom, ask. First it begins, give us day by day our daily bread. That would be our needs, our physical needs. We ask him for that. And again, nothing wrong with asking, but reminding ourselves what is a need. And what is a want? What do we really need on a daily basis? In the first century, they needed bread. They needed their daily provision. The second part, forgive us our sins as we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. The greatest thing that we could ever and should ever ask for is that God would forgive us. The greatest need that we all have, greater than our daily bread, is our need for God's forgiveness. It's also a great time for us to just ask for those daily things, be reminded of the things we do need forgiveness for. Lord, show us, investigate our heart, show us the areas that we're lacking in us asking for forgiveness. And the final one, lead us not into temptation, lead us away from temptation. Again, a great need that we have. So that's the way that we think about prayer. And if we put it into this framework, this AKA framework, again, acknowledge the kingdom, asking. That's the three words that we can remember. And that gives us a prayer that's like this model prayer of Jesus. Once again, let me be clear. There's not a thing wrong with us praying the Lord's Prayer. But everywhere in Scripture, it's about pouring our hearts out to God. Speaking to the one who is greater than us, asking those things, acknowledging who he is, as we said, and the kingdom mindset. Oh, and one more thing. Notice that it says, give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins. Kingdom-minded also means it's about us. It's about the kingdom. It's about our church family, our family on earth, but also there's no I, me, and my in this prayer. So that helps us to think in those bigger kingdom terms. How do we need to pray for us?